But something the Lord has been stirring in me for a few days here is being tender-hearted. And the seasons that we live in, you know, it's very easy to become hard-hearted. People dealing with you in certain ways, and we can step over into not being tender-hearted. And the Bible has some things to say about being tender-hearted, because your heart can become seared as with a hot iron. And some of the scriptures will say it's branded. You know, you can brand, you know, how you can put some hot something on here. Or I used to work construction years ago. And how many know your hands can get calloused? And after a while, you can't feel anything on there. I used to be able to just cut skin off because your hands become so calloused from friction that it begins to build up skin so that your hands aren't as sensitive to things. Well, guess what? Your heart can become that way. Your heart can become desensitized to things because you don't fix things. See, when we have something, see, that's why I appreciate the song, "It's Nothing But the Blood." Because the Holy Spirit was reminding me this morning, it's the blood that caused my heart to become tender. What does it say? It changed this heart of stone to become what? Like flesh. And so it's the blood that not only caused my heart to become tender, but it maintains a tenderness in my heart. See? And the seasons that we live in, this world is so hard-hearted. What are they looking for? A tender heart, a heart of love. Am I talking to anybody here? It's easy, all of us, something can bang up against you and you go, huh. But one thing I know that the Bible says that Jesus came into this earth not to condemn. So we cannot condemn. The Holy Spirit does not condemn. But I'll tell you what does convict and condemn: your heart. And your heart will condemn you when you do something wrong. I mean, how many remember when you were a little child, something went, that wasn't right? And we go, yeah, but I'm doing it anyways. And you keep doing that, and after a while, there's no sense of right or wrong. That's where the world is. They have no sense of right or wrong because why? First of all, if they're not born again, their heart is as what? Stone. So they have no way of knowing what's right or wrong. It's not from our heart. It's really from their what? Their soul, their head. Well, I think this is right. We know better. Because your heart has been changed. It's alive unto God. So you have a heart of flesh. You have a clean heart. And because of that, your heart will tell you, that one right? And your heart will say, fix that. That was wrong. What you said, what you did was not right. See, and I'm saying all of that because in this day that we live in, maintaining a tender heart is key to being directed by the Holy Ghost and living a Spirit-led life. It's imperative. If we don't keep a tender heart, you can't. It's difficult to be led by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Because you're desensitized to what? Spiritual things. I hope that's making sense to some folks. Hallelujah. Let me pray and jump in here for a moment. They can start that where I started, because that's you need to hear that. Because some of these things just bubble up, and when they bubble up, you need to hear them. Because that means the Holy Ghost is talking, because I'm not thinking this up. It's just coming up. And so that means you need to hear it, so that means they need to start where I started. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we thank you for what you're saying to us by your Spirit today. And we're not just going to be hearers of your word, but doers thereof. So that this religion that we have, this relationship, is not in vain. So, Father, we thank you. We look to you, Holy Spirit, for guidance. We look to you for direction, for unction, for revelation today, and deposits of revelation. In the name of Jesus, we give you praise. Amen. Now let's turn in our Bibles, because I know we read John 3:16, but I want us to read it today because it has some significance into what we're sharing. So if you turn over there and let's look at John 3:16. As we read that together. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Let's start. I'm going to read from the King James Version. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, I want you to read 17 and look at it closely. What does it say? "For God sent not his Son into the world to do what? To condemn the world." So let me ask this question. If Jesus doesn't condemn, then God doesn't condemn, because he is God manifested in the flesh. We are his body, therefore we do not condemn. Need to get that clear in your mind. God is not the condemner. Jesus said before he go away, he said, "It's expedient that I go away so that I can do what? Send a comforter, a helper, an advocate, a standby, somebody to help you, so that when nobody stands with you, no one stands with you, he will. When everybody leaves, he's still there. He's the helper. He's not the condemner." Get it clear. So when somebody says, "Well, the Holy Spirit is sure condemning me today." No, he is not. He is not. It's your own human spirit that is convicting you of wrongdoing or whatever it is. It's your spirit. Now, did my volume drop? No? Well, it sure sounds like it to me. I heard somebody say, yes, it did. So, anyways, sounded like it. So that's the key. And it continues to say, "But that the world through him might be saved." Verse 18, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because" why? "He hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." I believe in John, let me just find it here, in John 14, I believe it is. It's John 16. I'm sorry, you can turn over there a minute. John 16, verse 7, 8, and 9. Very familiar scripture. It says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." I just read this. "It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I know God away, if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come," listen, "he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Verse 9, what does 9 say? "Of sin, because they believe not on me." That is the only thing that the world will be condemned for not believing on Jesus.
Amen.
That is it. This is scripture we're reading, not some idea somebody poked at you or what mama said. The Bible says, "For sin, because of sin, for not believing on him." That's why. And that's what we just got done reading in John 3, 17. Didn't we? Same thing. So, let's just take a few moments here. I want to share this. So we can see here that maintaining a tender heart is key. So let me ask this question. Is there a difference, and most of you are well taught, is there a difference between the spirit and your soul? Most of you said yes. What about the rest of you? You're not sure. Okay, so let's look at what the scripture has to say. Because if there is, it should be supported in the Bible, shouldn't it? Okay, let's look at Hebrews chapter 4 and look at verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit." So if something can be divided, That must mean it's not one. It's two different distinct things.
Amen.
Isn't that correct?
Yes.
So your spirit and your soul cannot be the same. They're different. We've heard this for years. This physical body of mine contacts this physical realm. This spirit of mine contacts what? The spiritual realm. That leaves something else then, doesn't it? My soulish realm, my soul, contacts the intellectual or reasoning. So let me ask this question. If we're going to be led by the Spirit, then God, who is a spirit, will speak to our spirit. He will lead us in and through our spirit, by the Spirit.
Amen.
So we can see here, I'm going to read some, why don't you turn over there first so you can look at it. Proverbs 20 and 27. Proverbs 20 and 27. So we're making a point here. There's a difference between the spirit and the soul. Or your spirit and your soul. Proverbs 20, 27 says, "The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching what? All the inward parts of the belly." The heart. It's referring to your heart. He searches all the inward parts of the belly. And I believe in John. Let me read this. John, you can read up because we're going to go somewhere else, but I'll read this. John 7:37 says, in the last, and verse 37, 38, 39, it says, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit. So it's out of this Spirit, out of this belly, shall flow rivers of living water. That's why it's imperative that we keep this heart, this Spirit, what? Uncluttered. Tender. Be like clogging a pipe up. Hallelujah. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 14. I'm just going to run through some scriptures real quick today. We want you to look at these. Let your eyes look on them. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 2. 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 2. Familiar scripture. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man, what? Understandeth him. Howbeit in the spirit, he speaketh mysteries. It's when we pray in the spirit, we're speaking to God and not unto men. Amen. Let me read this. This is the Wiest translation. He utters with his human spirit, as energized by the Holy Spirit, divine revelations not explained. Divine revelations not explained. I'm going to read a few other verses here. He utters mysteries with his spirit. The Moffats, he is talking of divine secrets in the spirit. The Amplified in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. So there's a difference between your spirit and your soul. That's why for me, I don't know about you, but I've experienced this, and I'm sure you have too, that when you get quiet and you pray in the Spirit, how many have experienced divine revelations in that quiet time by praying in the Spirit? How many have? Let me see your hands. So I'm not speaking something that I've just experienced. You've experienced this. That as we pray in the Spirit, our spirit is more aware of spiritual things. And divine revelations, things, we would say, secrets, mysteries unto God. In other words, these are mysteries that become revealed to us. Isn't that not true? But when you read, I'll read this scripture here. 1 Corinthians 2:9. We know this scripture, "Eye hath not seen, ear nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit." So things that have not been revealed even to us, as we pray in the Spirit, as we spend time, that's why I appreciate what Reverend Marty did last Saturday, just praying in the Spirit, quiet. Pastor Judy coming in, she referred to it as a soaking, which really just meant getting in his presence, being still, praying in the Spirit, and then being quiet and writing down what he, the Holy Spirit, is revealing. All of this is being led by the Spirit, but it's imperative that you keep a tender heart, because that tender heart can affect your hearing. One can become dull of hearing. You see. Let me read this. This is 1 Corinthians 14:14. "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit," what does it say? "My spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful." Let me read some other translation so you can get the gist here. And you may already know this. You say, "Well, I know this." Okay, good. Then you're going to hear it a little more. Because the more, how many have gotten the depths of the revelation out of every line in Scripture? I haven't. And sometimes when I hear it and hear it and hear it, and then it's like, whoa, I never saw that from that perspective before. So the Holy Spirit will unfold, continually unfold and reveal to us his word. "For if I pray in this way, my spirit prays indeed, but my mind has no part in it." See, my mind doesn't have any part in praying in the Spirit. "My spirit makes the prayer, but not my mind." My spirit makes the prayer, but not my mind. "My spirit is praying, but my mind is inactive." Isn't that true? When you pray in the Spirit, some of the greatest revelations the Holy Spirit has given me is when my mind is quiet and I'm praying in the Spirit. Revelation comes. Revelation what? Revelation in what to do in certain situations. Not just revelation in his word, that's true, but revelation on how to handle something. How many are there? Yeah, what do I do? And we're quick to call, we're quick to ask, what should I do? But what we should do is pray in the Spirit. We should pray in the Holy Ghost, because he will reveal and unfold to you exactly what you should do. This is being led by the Spirit. So your mind, I like this, another translation, "My spirit is at prayer, but my mind contributes nothing." Boy, that ought to be a lot of the time. My mind contributes nothing to this conversation. I'm just going to pray in the Spirit. We're all learning to do that, to contribute little to some things. Amen? So part of this, and where we're at here, is we're talking about being led by the Spirit, keeping a tender heart. When you pray in the Spirit, your spirit is more aware of his leading and his witness. How many have experienced that? When I pray in the Spirit and I maintain that, I'm more aware of when I do something that's not right. See, What does the scripture say? I will read this to you. You don't have to turn there. But Romans 8:5, it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." As I pray in the Spirit, I'm more aware and sensitive to spiritual things. So therefore, because of that, when I do something that's not pleasing to Him, I'm more aware of it. I mean, instantly I know that wasn't right. And to maintain that tender heart to who? Him. Maintaining a tender heart so that you're sensitive and not desensitized to Him, you need to fix it right then.
Amen.
I tell you, I mean, there was something recently. We were out, and there was something I did and said it wasn't right. And I knew it. I knew it right then and there. And I fixed it. Because how many know when it's not right, you can't sleep, you can't, it just, it's gnawing at you, it's bothering you. You just, I can't sleep, it's just, it's wearing on you. But what's wearing on you? Your heart. Your heart is telling you, keep it tender. And I'm going to tell you something. The world, well, I say the world, God has already broadcast to us. He's going to send people here. He's been saying it for year after year after year after year after year. They're not going to look like us. They're not going to smell like us. They're not going to act like us. They're not going to talk like us. What does that mean? They're going to act ornery. They're going to act ugly. But He's going to send them. Now, if you're going to get upset,
come on now.
You're going to act like them. But love, keeping a tender, soft heart, that's what cannot be overcome. The love of God, embracing someone who's not nice. The world's not nice. Because the God of this world ain't nice. He hates. But we've got to keep a tender heart.
Amen.
Even when people do you wrong, keep a tender heart. Doesn't mean you don't walk through a process, but keep your heart right. Keep it tender. Because in that tenderness, God will lead you out and on top.
Amen.
He'll set you up on top.
Praise God.
Keep it right. Keep it tender. Keep it soft and pliable. Don't become hardened because of conditions.
Amen.
Conditions can harden us. I don't like them people. I don't like what they did to me. I don't like this. And we become hardened. And thus, what does it say? Those that mind earthly things, what? Death, it's earthly. So we don't want to do that. We don't want to be mindful of the flesh, of the things there. Tit for tat. No. See, God can lead us through natural things here on this earth, even there, but we can maintain a right heart. We can maintain a tender heart. Walk in love in the situation, and He'll put you right up on top. I mean, we have account after account after account after account in the Bible. I'm thinking of one right now. Let's think about Joseph. Did he maintain the right heart? Sure did. He had every reason to be gnaw on some folks, his own family. So folks have gone through some things, but they maintain the right heart, a tender heart. And God will restore everything you lost. Everything. And more to boot. You just keep a tender heart. Keep a right spirit. Amen. I don't know what I'm talking to today, but that's on my heart today. I don't know if it's for you. Sometimes it just, maybe it's for me. I don't know. You know, we need to maintain that and keep hearing it. Because every one of us are going to be confronted with a choice. Amen. To get even, to say something. Just keep it right. Keep your heart right. Hallelujah. Let me get over here to my notes. Let's go to 2 Corinthians for a second. I'm sorry, 1 John. We'll just spend a minute here. 1 John, hallelujah. First John chapter 3. Look at verse 18, 19, and 20. See? God and Jesus do not condemn. The only thing the world is going to be condemned for is what? Not believing on the Son of the Son of God, Jesus. Look at 1 John 3:18. It says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And thereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him." Now look at verse 20. "For if our heart condemn us, God is who?
Greater
than our heart, and does what? Knoweth all things." Beloved, who's he writing to here? He's writing to us. He's writing to me. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. See, that's why you need to keep your heart tender, because it will affect your confidence towards God. See, that's what the devil's after. He'll heap up thoughts, and your heart will condemn you, not God. He's for you. He's your helper. He's your advocate. But your heart will condemn you, and it'll affect your confidence towards God. Was that him? I don't know. And all of these thoughts running around in your mind, and your heart condemns you. And what do? You just give up. You don't even approach God. Some folks don't even, they just say, "Well, we hear this." So I'm not talking out of turn here. We have folks that just say, "Well, I don't feel right to come to church." No, you need to come to church. Because God loves you. We love you. And folks will say, "Well, you know, I haven't tithed, so I don't feel right to go to church." Why? Come to church so you can hear the word of God that'll change your heart so that you can change your condition. God's not condemning. Whether you tithe or not, yes, we want you to tithe so you can be blessed. But whether you tithe or not, this is God's ministry, and he's going to keep it afloat. Amen. Like Brother Hagin used to say, whether you tithe or not, we're going over. Amen. and we're going to reach the place that God has designed and destined for us, whether we do or not. If we mess up, he'll just find somebody else. Keep our hearts right. Keep them clear. Keep them tender. Hallelujah. So, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he's for us. And that's what I was saying earlier. Blessed me. It's the blood of Jesus. And here's the thing. Back up here now. We're talking about the blood here. Look at chapter 1 in 1 John. You're right there. Look at verse 7, 8, and 9. See, what does it say here? He's talking about the blood. He said, but verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship one with another and the blood. And the blood. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. It's the blood. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, see, he's faithful and just to forgive us what? Our sins and to cleanse us. It's the blood that causes you to maintain a tender heart. Hallelujah. It's the blood that causes you to maintain that tender heart. When it ain't right, say, I'm sorry. Cleanse my heart, oh God. Keep this heart tender. Let the blood of Jesus continually cleanse me. Hallelujah. Why? So I can have fellowship not only one with another, but with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woo, yes, sir. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Glory. Am I speaking anything to you today? Keep my heart tender, oh God. Hallelujah. Let me just finish with this scripture. You can see here. Go to 1 Timothy. You can see what can happen. See, when your heart becomes seared. See, when your heart is not tender, spiritual things, and I'm going to use this word, will be indistinct to you. And you know what that means. Indistinct just means you're not easily seen or heard. In other words, it's hard, you're hard of hearing, you're dull. See, we don't want to be dull. We want to hear them clearly. See, the Spirit and the Word agree. But because my spirit is alive unto God, even if I didn't know chapter and verse, my conscience pricks me. I tell you, how many here, when you were a baby, a young child, how many of you knew chapter and verse? How many in here? That's what I figured. I don't see no hands, neither did I. But how many knew when you did something wrong? Yeah, I did. Your conscience told you it wasn't right. You didn't know chapter and verse. Why? Because before you became spiritually alive, before you came alive to sin, your spirit was alive to God. And maintaining that spirit, that tenderness, through fellowship with him, and maintaining that tender heart through the blood of Jesus, the cleansing flow of his blood, maintains the fellowship with God, keeps the pipe open, doesn't it? Yes. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and look at verse 1. 1 Timothy 4:1. I just want to look at just a portion of the scripture, because this is talking about, you read it here. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times," we in the latter times? Yes. "Some shall depart from the faith." Are we seeing that? Yes. "Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." So it's possible. That's a warning. It could happen. Some of the other translations, let me just read them. It says, "branded in their own conscience as with a hot iron." This is the New International Reader's Version. I like this. Makes it real plain. "Their sense of what is right and wrong has been burned as if with a hot iron." There's no sense of right or wrong. How many have seen Christians who you thought, they gotta know that ain't right? What do we say? They are spirit filled. They may be. But if their heart has been seared as with a branding iron, there's a possibility. They have no sense of what's right or wrong because the pipe's plugged. They need to repent and ask God for forgiveness and get that cleansed with the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. God's word says their consciences have been scarred as if branded by a red hot iron. The Complete Jewish Bible, "whose own consciences have been burned as if with a red hot branding iron." The Basic Bible, "whose hearts are burned as with a heated iron." See, every time that we know something's not right and we don't fix it, it's like, you keep burning it, and after a while, you won't even sense that it's wrong. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Yeah, it is. See, the wonderful thing, though, is that even if you've gotten to a place where you don't sense right and wrong, you can get back to that place. How? The blood of Jesus cleanses me of some sin, all sin. So that means I can get back to a place where I'm sensitive to right and wrong. Isn't that true? He wants us to be sensitive so that, why? Love can flow. Love can flow out of us. Why? Because this relationship that I have with God through the Holy Spirit, the love of God pours out of me like rivers of living water. So when I hear him, I act. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to stop. That's enough for today. Because it's not just hearing the word, it's being a doer of it. So we can get all shouting hallelujah, but it's doing it. It's boots on the ground. That's what counts. We can get excited and shout, but you got to do it. You got to act on the word of God. That means if there's something, fix it. If there's something that the Spirit of God has been nudging you with, fix it. I don't care what it is. Fix it. Amen. Amen. What is the motto at this church? Where the love of God is evident. Not where flesh is evident. The love of God is evident. The word of God is taught, the Spirit of God is directing, and when all of that is in place, the power of God flows. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Did you get anything out of that? Hallelujah. Say, my heart is tender, oh God. My heart is tender. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Bless Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm finished.